So I've been staring at these statistics notes, and honestly, the first page alone has like 5 different definitions before you even get to a single number. Population, sample, qualitative, quantitative, it's a lot to hold at once.
Right, and that's actually the perfect place to start. Because those distinctions aren't just vocabulary. They shape every decision you make later in an analysis. So let's work through them together.
Okay, so population versus sample. What's the actual difference there?
A population is the entire group you care about. A sample is a subset of observations selected from that population. The reason we use samples is practical. You usually can't measure everyone. So you measure a manageable group and use that to say something about the whole.
And how do you make sure the sample is actually representative? Because a bad sample seems like it would wreck everything downstream.
Exactly the right concern. One standard approach is a simple random sample. Every subject in the population has an equal chance of being selected. Another is a stratified random sample, where you divide the population into groups called strata, and then take a simple random sample from each group. That way you don't accidentally miss a whole segment.
So not X, but Y. It's not just grabbing whoever's convenient, it's a deliberate structure.
Exactly. And once you have your sample, the next question is, what kind of data did you collect? That's where qualitative versus quantitative comes in. Qualitative data is categorical, think eye color or political party. Quantitative data is numerical, height, test scores, temperature.
And within quantitative, there's another split, right? Discrete versus continuous?
Yes. Discrete variables take countable values, like the number of students in a class. Continuous variables can take any value within a range, like someone's exact weight. The distinction matters when you're choosing how to model or visualize the data.
Okay, so now we have data in hand. The notes then jump straight into central tendency, mean, median, mode. For everyone listening along, why do we even need 3 different measures of center?
Because no single one works perfectly in every situation. The mean is the arithmetic average, add all values, divide by how many there are. It's intuitive, but it gets pulled hard by extreme values. Think of a small company where 9 employees earn $40,000 a year, and the CEO earns $2 million. The mean salary looks nothing like what a typical employee actually earns.
Mm-hmm. So that's where the median saves you.
Exactly. The median is the middle value after you've ranked all observations in order. When the number of observations is even, you use the 2 middle positions. Because it's based on rank rather than magnitude, it's generally more robust than the mean when extreme observations are present. In that salary example, the median would reflect what most employees actually make.
Wait, so when would you actually prefer the mean over the median?
When the data is roughly symmetric and there are no major outliers, the mean uses all the information in the dataset, which makes it more statistically powerful for later calculations like variance. But in skewed distributions, income, home prices, reaction times, the median is usually the better representative of center.
And mode? I always feel like mode gets treated as the forgotten third option.
It does get underused. The mode is simply the value that occurs most frequently. It's most useful for categorical data, like the most common blood type in a sample, or when you genuinely need to know the peak of a distribution. A clothing retailer cares deeply about the modal shoe size, not the mean shoe size.
That's a great example. So the key idea is, match the measure to the data type and the shape of the distribution.
That's it. And this is also where descriptive statistics as a whole earns its name. Descriptive statistics summarize and describe the characteristics of observed data. They're not making predictions yet. That's inferential statistics, which uses sample data to draw conclusions about a broader population. Right now, we're just getting an honest picture of what we have.
So the raw numbers don't tell a story on their own. You need these tools to surface the narrative inside them.
Precisely. And the summary statistics we've covered, mean, median, mode, are just the beginning. There are also quartiles, which divide ranked data into 4 parts, with the first quartile at the 25th percentile and the third at the 75th. Those feed into things like the interquartile range, which describes the spread of the middle 50% of observations. But that's the bridge into our next territory.
Right, because knowing the center is only half the picture. You also need to know how spread out the data is around that center.
Exactly. So for our listener working through these notes, the takeaway from this first layer is that every statistical analysis starts with two questions. What kind of data do you have, and where is its center? Get those right, and everything else builds cleanly on top. Next time, we move from center to spread, variance, standard deviation, and why that N-1 in the formula actually matters.